The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Happening PGA DFS fans, it is Tuesday, the Wells Fargo Championship weekend. It's a really good week with a great field as we lead up to the golf's second major of the year, where of course we'll have some millionaire maker chances. But Ben, we don't like to get too far ahead of ourselves here, because lose sight of some big time money and a big time tournament this week at Wells Fargo. Listen, we're gonna have some names that you and I need to chat about that need to start turning things around this week. Couple of ways we can look at getting participation in that. Of course, it's looking at Monkey Knife Fight, the sponsor of our show. They have some player props-based contests that are, of course, easy to understand and navigate. You don't have to worry about ownership or anything like that. It's just you pick it, and we'll have an example coming up right after this. And of course, if you use promo code OSMO, you're going to get $100 on your deposit match, up to $100, I should say. And Ben, let's talk about one of the ones that I like this week. So, it's par 71 here at Quail Hollow, but the par fives are reachable, and there are a couple par fours that are reachable. So I'm looking at eagles or better. I need 5.5 eagles or better for 3X. That is the prop this week on Monkey Knife Fight. You can have any three names. I picked John Rahm because I think he's playing really good right now, and I think that is a name that's going to get at least one. Can you give me one name that you'd like to add to our lineup of three here?
So, that's an interesting one. You know, that's what I love about Monkey Knife Fight. You can do a lot of flexible things. You can be different. I'm going to go with, even though he might only get two rounds, I'm going to go with Bubba. He's someone he destroys, yes! par fives and whatnot, can make some numbers. We know, you know, the blow up is there, but the low's there. Neiman's another guy that comes to mind with stuff like that. He's got a little Hovland in him where these guys really dismantle. So it's going to be a fascinating week. This is a difficult track, but a fair track. I love this course. I love this event.
Yeah, and just to finish on that, so you go with Bubba. It's so funny. I clicked Bubba as well for the second guy in there. And I just also found that Joaquin Neiman seems to be playing really good. So I added him as the third guy. And here's the ending of that prop. It's a 3X for 5.5 eagles or better. And you also get entered into a pool of $7,500 in this pool, where if your guy hits, you would be able to split the prize with whoever else also wins that. So a really cool contest going on over there at Monkey Knife Fight this week. Go on and certainly check it out. Again, promo code OSMO and you'll get $100 match deposit. So Ben, Quail Hollow, par 71, 7,500 yards, a little bit longer than last week, but equally as hard. Now, maybe Innisbrook played a little bit easier than normal. Still, some similarities between the courses. Wouldn't you agree there?
So there's definitely some similarities, you know, in terms of what you need. I do think that Wells Fargo, it benefits a little more to, you know, driving distance. You can get in and out of trouble here with your tee shots. Obviously, you don't want to be spraying, but you can. The other thing that I want to bring up right at the top is that if you're looking at course history, you've got 2017 was a little different. They played the Wells Fargo at Eagles Point. They played the PGA Championship here at Quail Hollow. And the setup was much different. So that's a year that you want to be careful what you're looking at.
Definitely. We got some names in there. Actually, the first one, this tournament at Eagle Point actually did me well. I had the Brian Harman 40-footer against Dustin Johnson bet on, on 18, where it gave me a good finish. So I guess I'd rather this be at Eagle Point. But certainly we'll discuss Brian Harman because it's a very different golf course. And if you take out that first place at Eagle Point, this course history looks a little bit different, certainly here at this tournament. So we'll certainly discuss a little bit of that. Top 65 and ties make the cut. Again, I expect it to be pretty hard during this time of year when we have daylight until, 8 o'clock or so. The fields are massive. So again, tougher to get 6 of 6. It's no surprise. But I wanted to talk about last week. We ended up with 3%, but that's because we had chalk just bomb on their 17th and 18th hole. Chris Kirk, Emiliano Grillo, and a couple of more there. So just fascinating to watch nonetheless. A couple of notes that I had. It's a par 71, as I said, the same as last week. Same in types of greens hit, but the one big difference, Ben, tons of drivers hit off of these tees versus last week, not so much.
Yeah, that's the big difference. You have to be a little more aggressive because some of these par fours, they're very long. It's a par 71. It's a long course. You get some rollout if you're a short hitter. There's no doubt about that, but you do need to be aggressive in spots. So coming off last week, I'll take a little, but this is also an event we haven't seen since 2019. This was in the midst of the pandemic, just like Valspar. We didn't see that last year. So there's a lot of wild cards, but this is an event. Like I said, this event has always treated me good. I love this course. Quail Hollow is just a great test of golf.
It is. It's a fun track just outside of Charlotte, North Carolina, of course. And we've got a couple of Wake Forest graduates that I'll be playing in the field this week. But first, let's go over the top end, guys. Six golfers betting above 10K. Typically, that means pricing is rather hard. And I think that stays true this week.
Yeah. Oh, listen, I mean, when you're getting major quality fields like this, it's always a little difficult. Now, this is a full 156. Yep. You're going to have options. You mentioned last week, you said something absurd. It was like 100 and something guys were like 7,500 and less. So you have dozens of options at these price points as you get lower. But there's no doubt about it up top when you're looking at JT, when you're looking at Bryson, when you're looking at Rahm. It comes with some opportunity cost. You clearly can't play all these guys.
Yeah, let's go player by player quickly-ish. I've got a note on all of them here. Justin Thomas has four trips here, three top 21s and one missed cut, so varying success. Obviously, people that follow the strokes gained and also watched last week could tell Justin Thomas could not figure it out on the greens. So if he's going to continue to putt like this, Ben, do we really want to pay $11,300 for him?
So, listen, JT, obviously when he gets the putter right, this guy is unstoppable. He gained 13 strokes tee to green last week. It's unreal. Lost 6.5 with the putter. It's ridiculous. Ridiculous numbers. So, depending on – you can look at it both ways. You could say, you know, when he improves putting, my God, it's over. Or is this going to continue to plague him? I like Rahm of the top three. I think that Rahm's consistency is undeniable. He hasn't won this year, but he's done everything else. He rarely, if ever, loses strokes tee to green, and his putter is not nearly as broken as JT's right now.
Yeah, it's interesting because JT hired a putting coach at the beginning of the year, and obviously he won the Players, but he really won the Players on the back heel of a 63 or 64 on Sunday. I mean, it was a great Sunday round. I'm not taking anything away from him, but you get hot with the putter in one round at Sawgrass, and you've got a chance to win if you're playing good tee to green. So will he be able to do it at Kiwa Island in a couple of weeks? I would always suggest no. If you don't putt well at a major, there's just no way you can win. Again, I could be proven wrong. But it goes to show that obviously this is a club that is keeping Thomas back. If he gets it right, he's going to rack up wins so quickly, though. His tee to green game is a mess. 13.5 strokes against the field at Innisbrook. I mean, he should win by 5 with those type of numbers. Again, goes to show you that sometimes putting just as important as the other stuff. I agree, John Rahm. I think he's playing so good right now. And in fact, as we go, we'll talk about it later. I think he's viable in all formats. I think you can start your cash lineup with him this week if you can be comfortable with some other guys that may not be playing well. Bryson DeChambeau, he's been eating steak the last 3 weeks. We can guess, but is he viable to play this week? His results have gotten better, Ben, each time he's come here.
Yeah, I mean, certainly these guys, of course, you're just evaluating what you're trying to do. I think, you know, with the ability to hit driver, obviously Bryson's going to have some things working in his favor. I think Rahm is the safest. JT is probably the most polarizing just because he played last week and he did something that no one really does that. You're talking about like 20 stroke difference between his tee to green and his putting. That's just unheard of. So I don't mind Bryson. I don't think he's a priority for me because we still haven't even gotten into the balance builds. And there are three other guys still north of 10K.
Sure is. Let's talk about Xander. Not great here for whatever the reason. And oddly enough, the U.S. Open is coming up obviously in a month or so. And it's going to be at Torrey Pines, where I think this is kind of a similar course in a way. And Xander Schauffele has struggled there as well, except for this year. I think he actually had a pretty good year. But does that mean he's going to break the bad habit of bad form here as well? Or are you looking elsewhere, even with the projected ownership being probably near 10%?
Yeah, I do like the ownership, but there's other guys, you know, Cantlay, several others that are going to be not too popular either. And I think Xander, again, he's long-term. I don't think that he's not going to be able to play Quail Hollow and Wells Fargo effectively. But am I really willing to pay $10,500 to find out if this is the time? Probably not. I'd rather pay $300 more for Rahm, rather bump to several other options. So I don't mind Xander. I hope I get a little just because he does have that upside. There's no doubt about it. But again, not a priority.
For sure. Definitely a couple of more guys in the 9K range I want to mention you about. But we can't get out of the 10K range without talking about the biggest question mark of the week. And that is Rory McIlroy. Obviously, it's been the worst run of form we have seen from McIlroy in 10 years. Maybe, you know, since he's joined the PGA Tour, it just hasn't been good. He was chasing distance. He's changing swing coaches. There's some things going on. But if there's ever a course to break him out of the slump, one of the top five, I would say, would be Quail Hollow. Obviously, he's had such good success here. So is this the track to do it? We haven't heard from him since the miscut at the Masters. So 3.5 weeks off, maybe that's what he needed.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely is. Obviously, he said as much that he needed to build, kind of strip everything down and build it back correctly. And he's going to be in the long process of doing that. Where he's at in that process, I have absolutely no idea. I don't think anyone does. I know I'm very confident that Rory's going to be just fine long term. In the meantime, it's going to be very interesting because when you look at data long term and you look at course history long term, obviously he stands out as a phenomenal play. But you have to ask yourself, is he that golfer right now? I would say no, most likely. So it's a weird situation. Obviously, there's a reason why I say I love this course, because when Rory and Ricky are dominating at a course, usually ends very well for me, and it has in the past. Rory, so I want to ask you this. I'm a little stunned that right now, and it's early, we have him projected, you know, pretty decent ownership on him, around 15%. Did that surprise you, or am I just maybe overrating that people aren't as concerned as maybe I am?
I think typically when something like this happens, it ends up being kind of right in the middle, because you see it as one like, hey, it should be. When I first saw Rory printed at 10,000, I'm like, he's probably going to come in right at 8-10%, because the course history truthers will play him obviously until he shows that he can't do it here, right? And there's, you know, 5%, let's say. And then of course there's the opportunity cost of just trying to get leverage on somebody that's going to be low owned of 5% as well. So yeah, for me, I think that the 15% probably is a little high. I think maybe a little bit ends up sliding to Xander or down to the next guy, Victor Hovland, who, you know, we'll talk about in a bit. For me, I think that I need to see a top 10 out of Rory before I pay 10K for him. I know that, you know, we want to try and match up when he's going to be low owned as well, right? We don't just want to try and miss out on a, you know, a week. But I'm concerned. He needs to, with 10K or above, he needs a top seven. And it's just, it doesn't look good for him right now. I don't think I'd rather play Webb Simpson though. Can you tell me why he's 10,200? I'm not seeing it.
Yeah, I don't really see it either. I mean, I get that Webb can attack these courses differently. You know, he's got the roots in North Carolina. I look at his, you know, heritage and those type of tracks. That's Webb. This is not that. This is a difficult test for him off the tee. Can he do it? Yeah, he can stay alive off the tee and lean on the ball striking, lean on the putter. He's done it a million times. But I don't think that Wells Fargo is the ideal situation. Whereas long-term, Wells Fargo, Rory's shown this is the ideal situation for him when the game is fixed. So I get it. I'm not saying I'm not going to play Rory at all, but again, not a priority. 20-1 in the betting market on him. I don't hate that if you think that the ceiling is still there, because you don't get those numbers too often. But again, there's really nothing going off besides blind long-term form with Rory right now.
Yeah. Well, 20-1 was on Rory. Is that what you said?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's actually intriguing. If you recall JT's win at the Players, I think he was right around that number as well. So it's indicative of when these guys get out of form, the odds makers try and go with them. And obviously jumping on that can get you much better return than what their long-term form gives you, obviously being 8-1, 6-1 most of the week. So definitely intriguing there. Before we move on, let's talk about a little bit of free content that we have over on the website. Some free premium content, I should say, for PGA. Wait for tomorrow. You're going to get our pro plays again for free. Last week, we had a really good week. I know that Burns and Bradley were up in the top of a lot of ours. So what this is, the pro plays, it is basically how we are playing the GPPs for the week, who our top ownerships are, where we're leveraging, and where we're deleveraging as well. So check that out tomorrow. In terms of the other sports, you got the NBA Big Board, MLB Top Stacks, and NHL Main Slate Top Stacks. And of course, if you want to get access to all of the great Osmo Plus tools and content for nearly every DFS sport out there, then join us. Come behind the curtain on the Osmo Plus side for a weekly pass, just $29.95. It's going to include access to all of the premium content and tools on Osmo.com, plus our Slack channel, where Ben and I are there pretty much every day answering questions from our subs and our friends there. So come on and join us. Of course, just on the golf side, $8.95. We've got the major coming up, some really good golf. So Ben, as we move into the 9K, my note on Victor Hovland is, looks like he's ready to win again. He had only 61% of his greens last week and came in a tie for third. One would think that that does not happen given the fact that he's really bad around the greens, but he had good putting week. We know how good his ball striking is. So I think Victor Hovland is really in play to win.
So yeah, I mean, listen, if he's going to gain strokes putting like that and be positive around the green, he's going to be unstoppable. I think that's more of an outlier than a trend. But I also think that the guy that I've always comped Hovland to, particularly when he's at his A game, is Rory. Peak Rory, when Rory was decimating people off the tee and just kind of holding on with the rest of his game. You know, he was very solid, but it wasn't anything special. It was just very serviceable. He leans on that ball striking. I think Hovland can do that here. And I think, again, Rory has shown, if you can do that at Quail Hollow, you're going to win some of these events over the years. So I have no problem starting with Hovland. Aggressive second man in, I think there's enough value to do it, but you're certainly going to be trying to save salary.
Definitely falling in love with Rom Hovland this week. I'm not going to lie to you, yep. Even though I'm going to basically be negating all of the next guys I'm about to mention to you, including Patrick Cantlay, Tony Finau, Will Zalatoris. And maybe with Patrick Cantlay, he found a little something in Zurich, but it didn't look like it. Honestly, it looked like Xander was carrying him for the most part. Some decent shots. We know Cantlay is trying to change his swing for whatever the reason. Finau, not good success here for whatever the reason. And he's, you know, made the cut all five times, but nothing inside of the top 10. Then Zalatoris is obviously going to Wake Forest and is hot right now. Are you okay with basically leaving those three guys out if you really want to start Rom Hovland or even Rory Hovland?
So, I mean, I definitely think on certain lineups, I'm very comfortable omitting them, but this is a good range. I think you can look to, you know, you're getting a discount in ownership on Cantlay, and it's warranted given his form. I think that Finau should be better here. I do kind of like the spot for him. He's aggressive off the tee. The game hasn't been fantastic after that. I mean, his early 2021 form was the best in the world. He was unstoppable even without the wins. 10th at the Masters, he was fine at the team event with Champ. I think he's primed for his best finish at Wells Fargo, but you are weighing an opportunity cost. Even if I'm right about that, you know, if he comes in 14th or 12th, you may be saying, man, I wish I found the money for Will Z, for Hovland, for some of these other guys.
Yeah, and chat seems to be reading my mind this week. They mentioned Hovland for the win already. They also mentioned Aaron Wise ruining a lot of 6-6s. That is definitely going to happen this week. I can assure you of that right now. We'll talk about Wise here in a little bit when we get to his section, no doubt about it. I think he's in play. But let's keep going on this 9K section. We've got a couple of other golfers that I like and a couple of others that aren't playing well. Patrick Reed is one of them. He's out of form, I think, completely. Maybe, you know, I'm being a little over-exaggerating when I say that. But a miscut, we saw him do that and then come back and win the very next start. I don't think that's in play, though, because it just didn't look like stuff was in form last week at the Ballast Bar.
Yeah, it wasn't great. He lost strokes putting, and that was the first time he had done that all year. And that's sometimes what happens. You can't do it every week. And yep. Patrick Reed's ball striking is not nearly as good as the other top players in the world. He still gets it done because he's an elite scrambler, an elite putter, a grinder. He's a very, very good player. I don't find myself super interested in him here. There's too many other options. Will Z is fantastic. Finau is great. To me, he's underrated in the spot. We've already talked about a bunch of guys up here, so can't play everyone. Reed is pretty low priority for me.
And then we still got three more guys to talk about. Corey Connors, well, he cooled down a little bit last week, so I think I'll cooled off of him with that. But then you got Neiman and Homa, both coming off of pretty good starts. Obviously, Homa, the defending champion. It's hard not to like either of these guys, even with trying to get in, say, Hovland and Rahm in your lineup.
So Corey Connors, I've reached the point now when Corey Connors is on par threes, I'm sweating hole-in-ones. Like, that's how damaged I am emotionally. Like, it feels like a relief if he doesn't make a hole-in-one.
It's like, hey, 6 feet to the hole.
Yeah, whew, I got lucky. Corey Connors last week was absolutely fantastic, tee to green, but I was finally – his around-the-green game, you know, it really was exposed. And listen, he's an unbelievable player right now. He's really taken a step, and I still think he's a little inflated personally. I think he's going to regress – more into the mid eights in fields like this than the low nines in the future. But the ball striking is there. To me, Neiman is the most interesting of the three. Just another guy that I think long-term fits what I want to do here. Crush the ball off the tee if he needs to. Really solid approach. Hang on around the green and then make some putts. And his putter really heated up at Valspar. He gained 5.5 strokes putting. That masked was he lost off the tee at Valspar. That was the first time he's done that since August 23rd of 2020. So a true outlier, bizarro week for Neiman.
It's just a difficult course off the tee for Neiman. Yeah. And I'm happy with the finish, given the fact that it's just not ideal for me. This golf course would be much better off the tee. Hopefully we're proven correctly. I can't imagine he's going to lose strokes again this week. There.
No way.
So I like Neiman. I like Zalatoris. And I like Hovland as my top three in here. Now, let me ask you, because John Rahm hasn't won, do you think that negating him and going those three is, am I getting enough win equity there for a $10 or whatever it is this week? I think it's $15 for the 200K on DraftKings. Am I giving up too much win equity not having somebody above 10K this week?
No, I think the depth of this field has shown, you know, I don't think it's going to be some rando that wins at Quail Hollow. Then again, you know, I remember James Hahn coming from the true clouds 1 year winning here. It can happen, but it's more unlikely than not. But that doesn't mean it's just going to be JT, Bryson, or Rahm, one of those guys. Could it be? Yeah, obviously. But the nines is a very strong range. You're getting a lot of win equity. I will say I don't think that you should start in the eights. To me, that's too flat. I will absolutely have someone above that in every single lineup.
Well, our buddy Mike B in the chat needs to know if the new DFS industry term, having a griot or going griot, whatever you want to call it, going from second, full griot, going second to miscut instead of Keegan Bradley's going first to miscut. Have you forgiven him? Is it a quick forgive and forget, or is it that broke him? Which one is it?
So obviously, a lot of these things, it's stuff that has nothing to do with griot. So what happened to me, and it's funny, we were talking a little. We were like, I like Lucas Glover. You were all over Keegan and Burnt. We had the core set up pretty nicely. And I needed, what happened to me was Luke List got cut on the number. And that really hurt me. So when griot went full griot, I was already walking wounded. And that took the sting. Now, if List would have made it miraculously and then griot did that, I don't know. If I
you would have never played him again.
I may have not been able to make an appearance on the show today, but I am here. And I'll say this. The best time, as much as it's frustrating, the best time to play people, especially if you don't think there's anything wrong, is after something extreme happens.
Yeah, when they sting everybody, yep.
Clearly, Griot's game is, you may say it's not steady, but it's in good shape. He shot five under on Thursday at Valspar.
Plus four strokes putting on on Friday.
Like, what is that now?
It's just Griot. That's just what he does.
It comes with the territory. So I have no concerns. And the ownership, it's not like he's going to be unpopular, but clearly people have jumped off after seeing that. So I will be going right back to Griot. You know, it's disturbing. I have a therapist for several reasons in life. Griot is one of them, though. The guy, he causes a lot of damage to people's psyche, and I totally understand why people are hesitant to play him.
Yeah, I totally get it. You know, I'm not sure if the therapist you go to watches golf, but if they do,
he hears about it, believe me.
Then they know. They know what's going on for sure. Now, couple of other interesting names in this range, but before we get to them, Sam Burns was a guy that we basically said all year we're kind of chasing. We know a win's coming, but the volatility kind of happens. There's a couple of other guys that kind of are like that. How far do you think we need to chase them to get a payoff? Like it, Burns, you and I were kind of on them, maybe not as much as we should have been, but. That took a while for Burns to do it. Five times he's been in the top five heading into the weekend this year.
So, yeah, there's a thing, and we've both kind of talked about this, and it's a fine line where I called it like macro building or macro playing, where you kind of target a guy for a stretch, and no matter what really happens, you hang play. On. Yep. You can do it in betting as well. If you're like, you know what, this guy's going to be 40-1 basically every week, and I think he's going to win this year. Well, if you're right and he wins once, you're coming out ahead. Yep. So I don't mind those tactics, but you also Ricky Fowler, there's yeah. other side of it. You can't
Jordan Spieth, 2.5 years. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't have gotten paid out on my Valero had I just bet Spieth every week.
It's a fine line. So I think with some of the younger players who are extremely volatile and kind of are working up, I'm more apt to hang on because I think it's there and it's more of a just connecting the dots thing. Whereas some of these veteran players, I have trouble weathering the storms because it's hard for them to make a massive leap in their game, in my opinion.
Now, on that subject exactly, thanks for the lead in, there are a couple of golfers that buck that trend that are veterans that come out of nowhere to come in the top three at a golf course they've never made a cut on. That's name is Cam Tringale.
That's good.
8,400. The guy seems like he can't miss this year in terms of playing him. And yet here I am not giving him a chance again this week because he's going to be 20% owned. I can't get there. And either my brain or the model or both has trouble accepting that he is a top 25 player in the world right now.
Agree. This is a prime candidate for me to short. And listen, he's been proving, it's not like I've been staunchly fading him. I've had exposure.
This is probably the biggest week. Yeah. That I'll fade him. Yeah.
Agree. He gained 6.5 strokes putting last week and he gained 3.5 strokes around the green. So he gained 10 strokes with the short game. He gained 3 strokes off the tee and approach combined. It's not exactly how I would draw it up for Cam Tringale. Now he's been playing good for a while. There's no doubt about it. But you're asking me, would I rather play Cam Tringale or it's funny. Like I'd rather go get Sungjae. I was going to say, I'd rather go get Jason Day. I don't know what that even means anymore. I probably would, to be honest, but you've got Sungjae. Bubba is there. Griot is there. Fleetwood is there. Harris English, if you want to be aggressive. I think there's a lot of names at a fraction of the ownership that I have interest in.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Yeah, and you mentioned a couple. I'm going to bring up a few more just to maybe dive in a little bit deeper. But before I do, I want to thank everybody for coming out here on this Tuesday afternoon. If you're live with us, of course, we'd love to hear you in the chat. And if you're not live with us, thanks for watching us on playback. And make sure you guys give us a like on your way in and out. And subscribe to our channel. Of course, Ben and I have got short form video content that comes out pretty much daily for the first 3 days. You've got a great contenders video with Josh for the betting side. I cover the fades and sleepers on the DFS side, of course, the value. So make sure you subscribe to our channel to get notified when those two come live. So a couple of names that you mentioned, Sung J M, he cannot put four rounds together. Three, and he's the top five right now. But the fourth round, when you throw that in, it's just so questionable. I don't know if there's a price that I'm willing to pay. 8,800 seems reasonable, but when you look at Abraham Ancer right above, five straight starts inside the top 26, I think I'd rather just pay the $100 and get Abe Ancer.
Yeah, Ancer's another good play. I didn't mention him, but I totally agree. Just does everything, gains off the tee consistently without being a mega bomber. You know, he's just very accurate. He exploded putting last week, but that happens. I mean, you know, you get outlier putting. It's not a knock per se. It just masks. So Sungjae was rolling, certainly Thursday and Friday. Saturday, it was like a different player. He was terrible. So I don't know what to make of that. I still have interest. I do, but the 8K is where I'll probably flat pretty hard. I don't see myself making any aggressive stands except for shorting Tringale.
I think that's a pretty fair assessment.
Can I ask you about Fleetwood?
You can ask me.
Yeah, I guess you don't have to answer. I'll say this. He's 70-1 in the outright market, which to me was a pretty good number. He's the guy that for let's take everyone back. He was 3-under, then he made he was 8-over in 8 holes. Then on that Friday at Heritage, he went nuts.
Don't do it to me.
Should have made the cut, and then Luke List moved the number.
In miraculous fashion.
What do you even find yourself interested in going to a guy like Fleetwood? Or do you say, you know, if he's going to be 8 to 10%, I don't need to waste shares there?
Are we still trying to figure out where Tommy Fleetwood is good at? I think I am. I'm trying to figure out the golf course that I think he's good at. We saw him go through Florida a couple of years ago, almost winning every event there. And maybe this translates to it, but he hasn't been good the 2 years he's come here. He hasn't been good for a little while. I think if I wanted exposure, I think the 70-1 number in the betting market would be where I turn. I just don't know that I can pay $8,000 for him when I really do believe Gurria was in better form for $100 more. And I would certainly rather pay. I know this is kind of a leap to go up to Sungjae or Ancer, but I'd rather play Bubba Watson, who I think has now definitely looks like he's in better form, and he's only 300 more.
Yeah, I'm tend to agree with you. Like I said, I think that 70-1 with Fleetwood is kind of interesting, because I do think there are scenarios where he's electric, but I have no idea. I think you bring up a really good point. When I think of Tommy Fleetwood, I'm not even sure what I think of anymore in terms of the ideal course and the ideal game.
We just haven't seen that top end form right in a little bit of while, while now. So I wanted to ask you about Shane Lowry. And now, of course, one of the great tools that we've got behind the curtain is the awesome ownership projections. And right now, Shane Lowry projected at about 15%, right around there. Seems a little high. I mean, I know the form has spurted up a little bit, but this doesn't do it for me here. Shane Lowry on a driver-heavy course. He's been better this year. Top 50, I think, in strokes gained off the tee. I just can't get there.
He's definitely been better. I definitely get the price. He's coming off a ninth at Heritage. He made the cut at the Masters. He's been good. Top 10 at the Players. I have no knock on any of that. I just look at him, and to me, he just doesn't stack up amongst his peers. He's got some upside. It's just the putter is always cold. The off-the-tee game isn't nearly as strong. He's got good irons, but so do these other guys. So it's not a range that I'm really conceptually trying to get either two really good players above him or three very solid players above him on most of my lineups. And I don't know how often I'm going to spend 82 on him when I can spend mid sevens for a lot of guys that I feel are pretty close to him in skill set.
I think maybe if you had the room, maybe you could use him in cash, given the fact that you just said, I think he's made four straight cuts. Yeah. Four straight
made cuts
plus two straight made here with middling finishes. That's kind of spells cash if you want to go there. I would rather him be at 7,600 where Matt Wallace is, say. I think that's where I'd rather play. Let's go ahead and talk about a couple of those guys.
7,900. Russell Henley was above 9,000 last week and over 20% owned. He was a big fade for me. It ended up working out. Not that it really helped my results all that much, as was Chris Kirk. That didn't help either. But Russell Henley, I'm definitely more intrigued this week than I am last, even though it's still no good course history here. Two straight missed cuts in a 71st at the PGA Champ. So nothing really good to be excited about.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of him. You know, the putters started to cool off in a big way, and he needs that. I was more disappointed that he didn't gain on the approach. He was coming off plus 8.5 at Heritage with the irons. He lost 0.4 of a stroke at Valspar. That's just not going to get it done for Russell Henley. Am I going to play him again? Yeah, I'll probably go right back. This range is very interesting. You've got a popular Stewart Cink playing out of his mind.
I got to fade that this week.
Yeah, I can't. No chance I get there. And I get it. I'm not going to pay the top for Stewart Cink.
Not his highest price, right, in some time.
It's crazy. I mean, again, it's warranted because of his form, but I'm just not paying that price. And then the elephant in the room is there is a wild Ricky Fowler has a beard. I mean,
he's got a beard now too.
We haven't seen him. We saw him at Valero where it was like, oh, he needs to win to get in the Masters. Yeah. Like, well, that wasn't going to happen. No. I don't know. I'm going to play some. I still think that, you know, this is a good course for him. We've seen that in the past. Certainly he's not the Ricky of old yet, but there are some things. And unlike Rory, who I also do have interest, but like you're getting a reasonable tag here on Ricky. I don't think he's crazy overpriced at this point.
Yeah, I think it's actually the cheapest we've seen in a while. Maybe he was cheaper at Valero, although I thought he was in the 8K range at Valero. So, the price continues to come down. You know, he's going through a transition. Will he be able to get it back? Well, what is back? Is back winning one tournament a year, or is back getting into top 10s? You know, getting into Olympic contention again? Probably not. I don't think that Ricky, in the stage of his career, is going to be able to surpass some of these other, you know, really good stud American players. You know, DJ is never going to be as good as, you know, DJ and JT and those guys again. I think he'll get back to winning a golf tournament because he's got inherently, you know, a great ability to play the game. I think maybe his chance at winning a major was over. I don't know. I worry if he goes through a Jordan Spieth-like slump, he'll never recover because, you know, he's 5 years older than most of these guys, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's tricky. I mean, I think there's expectations of what's what. Ricky's better than he's shown to me in 2020 and 2021. He's worked through some things. If you took Ricky's best stretch of golf and you took the putting that he has now and you applied it, he never would have been good. Like, yeah, he was a world-class dominant putter for a long stretch of time, and that has not happened in a very long time. He's lost strokes putting in 7 of 9. That's just not going to get it done. It never would have got it done, though. So that's one thing I think people are overlooking. If Ricky's putting ever gets back to world class, let's see what he can do. Because right now, he doesn't have a chance unless he flips the putter.
17th at Valero, like you said, is at least intriguing enough at 7,800 to play him, though. The guy that you were high on last week that I think sets up again well here. We had one bad round last week, so maybe this is the week that the top 10 comes and then the ownership bubble happens next week down in, I think it's the Charles Schwab, if I'm not mistaken, before PGA. It's Lucas Glover. Same price as Fowler, which is likely going to keep Fowler's ownership low. Do like Glover, middling ownership, pretty good course history.
I don't understand what happened last week. He shot 77 on Saturday. He completely unraveled.
Made no sense.
I was really high on him last week, and I was really obviously content with the first 2 days. I'm going to hang on. I still think he's doing some things. The stats are all over the place, but as I talk about with Dylan Fratelli and a lot of other players on tour, sometimes that's all you need. If you're doing 1 week, it's the irons, 1 week, it's the putter, 1 week, it's the driver. If you ever put it all together, watch out. And I think Glover could potentially do that.
Yeah, I think so too. I think there's a good chance for him. Plus, he's done it here before, so it's not like it would be that new. I just want to mention, go back up for a second, because we've got a couple of guys that are kind of on heat check week. Keegan Bradley is one of those guys. Are you ready to let Keegan go back, to wherever it is, Woodstock, Vermont, or wherever he lives now? Or does he have one more week and I'm here in Charlotte?
So I Keegan, listen, the way he drives the ball and he can get hot with the irons, the putter being at zero is all an asset. I tend to think, though, this is a pretty big bump. I thought Keegan would come in maybe with Henley around that range. And you don't, you know, you say, oh, it's only $500 or $600. Well, that could be the difference between, you know, a mid 6K guy and a low 7K. That's a big difference to me on a field like this. So it's going to be tough for me to get to Keegan just because of the opportunity cost.
So I brought up Keegan now because his partner at the Zurich was Brendan Steele. And now Brendan Steele, $700 cheaper, did not play at Valspar last week. Do you think they played really well? I think they were in the top five. Is that Keegan carrying Steele, or could Steele be in a good spot here this week?
Yeah, Steele's been tricky to gauge as well. He was really good at Honda, really bad at Valero. Putter's been going historically. I think he's a decent fit. He's good off the tee. Yeah, I prefer him in California, I think. But he's shown he can do it here. He's had some good results. He was hit a top 10 in 2015, 14th in 2016, makes cuts here. I'm not super into it, to be honest, but it's not a range. I don't like Streelman. I think Joel Dahman is kind of interesting if you want to look at him, but I probably have some room if I want to get to Steele.
Yeah, I think Joel Dahman is interesting. 16 and second here. Let's group together with Aaron Wise. Obviously, Joel Dahman had the win, but they're kind of on similar trajectories this year. You know, not really that good, but then they pop up for a really good finish. And both of them have a second place and a teens finish here in their two trips. So I know they're separated by $500, Ben, but do you have a lean? Would you like to talk about Aaron Wise for a second? I know you and I kind of group him with Sam Burns, and we got a breakthrough, but he disappeared now since that breakthrough, the win for Aaron Wise. So I feel like he's in the Burns bucket. We just got to play, especially when he's 7,100 and low owned. Especially at a course that he's had good history. I don't know. Maybe I'm trying to talk myself into it, but I've paired these guys up together for so long, and it just so happens that Burns wins last week.
Yeah, I mean, so there's a couple of things with Aaron Wise. One, is he going to be popular? Right now, what we're projecting, the answer would be no. That's a good step in the right direction. Two, you know, where is his game at? It's not in great form, but he flashed a little. He was very good at Honda. His 13th there doesn't tell the story. He was in that tournament. Yep. Easily could have won. Heritage is not a good course for him, but the putter has been absolutely abysmal, lost in 6 of 7, and it's been a lot of strokes. So like most of these guys, he needs to get back to where he can putt. You know, when you look
maybe at this is it.
Maybe this is it. I think that's very possible. He certainly is runner up here. No surprise. He gained 4 strokes putting. And I do think that that's in the range of outcomes. I don't mind it. I'm looking for salary relief in this range. There are some guys in addition to him. Kyle Stanley is there. I think he's very interesting at 1% owned. Yep. But I'm going to have Wise in the player pool, no doubt.
On the flip side of the 1% owned is a guy that's gone 28th, 3rd, 34th, 18th, and 23rd in his last 5 starts and is projected at 20% owned, the highest owned golfer on the slate. Now, I think that could change maybe a little bit by Wednesday. I'll certainly chat with Alex a little bit about it, but I'm talking about Matt Wallace. I mean, he's been good. Don't get me wrong, but a tough golf course that hard to hit fairways, it seems like maybe not a broken club, but seems like something that could get in Matt Wallace's head and be a little bit of a disappointment for the 20% or so people that are going to roster. What I'm saying is I think I'd rather play Aaron Wise, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather play basically anyone at 1/6 plus the ownership. It has nothing to do with Matt Wallace. I think he's a fine play on paper. He's been playing very good, but I'm just not going to play him in chalky spots. Now, maybe I have a lineup where I've done some crazy things elsewhere, and I say, okay, I need someone at 75, and I do think he's one of the safer options there. Maybe I'll click his name, but you're talking about trying to win the large, like $10 tournament or something. Mm-hmm. If 1/5 of the field is going to play Matt Wallace, I'm going to look for an opportunity in a 156 man field with a T65 cut to maybe just kill 1/5 of the entries right off the bat.
17th, 2nd, and 16th for a guy that is the same price as Matt Wallace. And those are his results here. Now, is the Italian stallion Francesco Molinari going to be making your lineups here this week?
It's funny. I was, you know, when I was running some numbers this morning, he kept popping up.
Oh no.
And I don't know I'll be honest. He's someone I've always struggled with. he at times is ridiculous. Even when you look at his, you mentioned these results. In two of those here, he lost over five strokes putting, just to show you how dominant he was tee to green at Wells Fargo. Yeah. It's tough because he's someone that benefits. He's effective off the tee while being very short off the tee. He's not going to kill the ball. He puts it in the fairway. He leans on his long irons. But this is your account. I'm not going to even pretend. What are you doing with Francesco Molinari?
When he doesn't care, he is in my top three golfers that I cannot stand to follow or watch. Matt Fitzpatrick is one of the other ones, and I have to think about the other hard. But Molinari and Fitzpatrick are definitely the top two because you just know it's not going to turn around. There's no chance for it to turn around when it goes bad. But at 7,500, at least I'm semi-intrigued. You know, I don't know where the form is. I don't think I'd rather play Taylor Gooch. We just talked about Matt Wallace being 1,000,000% owned. That leaves me Gary Woodland. No, Gary Woodland is nowhere close to form. I followed him last week for a good amount, and he just looks so out of it. It's not even funny. So this pretty much means it's like a dead range unless I want to play Joel Dahman. Maybe Taylor Gooch, but he didn't look good either last week.
Yeah, exactly. And this is where, you know, you're going to have some shares to spend if you funnel and if you don't play Wallace. And I kind of like that. That's partly the reason I think he's going to be highly owned. His form is great, but he's also in a dead range. And when you're the only guy that people want to play in a range, it becomes easier to click. But, you know, chat's brought up Matt Jones already a couple of times at 74. Interesting play. I mean, he certainly had a resurgence of his own. He's made a lot of cuts. I think that's a little cash viable more than tournament viable, but I think the sevens are pretty wide open. I don't see a ton of linchpins of my lineup.
Another player I want to talk about as we move down, Eric Henry, and I'm out on. I know he's a name here. Denny McCarthy, no thanks at this golf course. We get to a name, though, Cameron Davis, who dreadful in Florida. I mean, missed the cut at the Players, I'm pretty sure. Missed the cut at the Arnold Palmer. Missed the cut at Valspar. Okay at Honda, I think. Here's a guy I actually kind of want to buy in on this week, Ben. 7,100, same bucket of talent that I throw Burns and Wise in. So price is coming down. We know the form had been there. Maybe he won't get it back, but I feel like it's a decent buy.
So I like it for the main reason is that I think one of the big misconceptions is that like recent form, it has to equate with the courses though. Like if you play in Harbor Town and then you flip, well, I don't really care what he did at these really technical tracks that are more, you know, you got to think your way around the golf course. I think when Cam Davis is at his best, he's aggressive off the tee. He's more at a Wells Fargo than at a Valspar or Heritage or Honda or Players. So I'm going to throw most of that out. It still doesn't look good, but if you take out those type of results, you're going to find a guy that I think is in the best opportunity to have a big finish. It doesn't mean he will, but these short courses really hurt these type of players.
Yeah, 7,100 down to 7,000. There's like five guys that I am definitely interested in. Kyle Stanley, you brought up, mentioned it. Putted well last week. Actually, I think he lost on his approaches, which is very not Kyle Stanley. Does that mean that maybe it's regression time and we can't expect a 13th or 8th place finish, which is what we've got the last two times? Or was that just a blip in the radar and he'll be right back at it this week?
I'm hoping it's the latter. So you can look at, it's one of those true bizarro ones. He gained strokes putting for the first time in a month and he lost strokes on the approach for the first time in basically a month. I don't know what to make of it, but at 1% owned, this is a guy, he's got experience here. He handles long par fours very efficiently. He always has. He's good with long irons. I feel good about Kyle Stanley. Again, you don't need much, but in a range where we're talking about Aaron Wise, Cam Davis, Johnny Vegas was just brought up by chat, and I totally get that. But Kyle Stanley, to me, can stack up against those type of players.
Johnny Vegas, I feel like two guys that are priced identically might have the exact same golf game. Like, I don't know if, you know, I showed up and was blind watching them play that I'd know who the difference was. It's Johnny Vegas and Keith Mitchell. They both came in eighth here last year or 2019. Both came in the like mid-30s and 40s in 2019. Keith Mitchell lost 25 strokes putting on Sunday en route to his 82 posted at Innisbrook. I took down Keith Mitchell's Sunday score. I want to make that known. I shot 80 my time out there, so I beat Keith Mitchell. Does that mean I shouldn't play him this week? Or is this, or is that just a blip? He actually played better than his score, or are we just hoping for a made cut there, which is not what we're looking for?
I mean, I didn't know, you know, we got some real good data here at Osmo, but it's good to know that our things can go up to that type of number. Minus 12 strokes game putting is not right. Something.
Sorry about that. Yeah.
That tests the database.
It was really bad.
I mean, what can you say? I think you kind of have to throw that out. If you lose it to that extent, there's really nothing that you're going to be able to do.
You're pretty much not trying. You're just joking. You're actually going likely for something like that at that point.
Yeah, I tend to throw that out. It doesn't mean, again, that he's going to fix it.
8.88.
It's just like...
Is that as high as it goes? I'm actually not sure. I don't know if it can go any higher.
Luke List could challenge that, but Luke List only gets two rounds to lose strokes putting because he can't make a cut. But yeah, I mean, listen, I think when you get down in these ranges, you're going to have to look towards something. You're going to have to be willing to sacrifice. Like Luke List is a perfect example. I love the way he's striking the ball, but he can't putt. I'm willing to roll the dice in certain spots on guys like that at a course like this, because I think the off the tee game is vastly more important than what these guys can do with the flat stick.
Yeah. Maverick McNealy was the other guy that I had starred. I think I'm going to play a little bit of this week. And of course, we only have 5 minutes left. We've got, I believe, NHL strategy show coming up after us. If we missed anybody in this range, don't worry. We got Ben and Eric on the mic tomorrow night, breaking it all down, especially some of these guys that we didn't. They're going to look at weather. I know there's been some pretty severe weather in the area, certainly affected the Monday qualifiers, certainly affected some other things. That does bring me to kind of my next step, which we have a couple of sections left, only 5 minutes, but I have a couple of questions for you. First, cash versus GPP. I think we kind of already talked about, I'm okay starting John Rahm or Victor Hovland. If you want to go up top, you want to go balanced, I would say starting Zalatoris Niemann would be the way that I would go. In the Rahm or Hovland range, I think I would probably put in something like a Sungjae Im or Abraham Answer or Joaquin Niemann as my second guy, and then dip down to even say Kyle Stanley. I think he's fine at that price for cash. Anybody in on either side, Ben, balance that you think people should look at, maybe Sean Lowry, or if starting with Hovland, somebody maybe a little more aggressive?
Yeah, I think depending on where you start, it would probably be Rahm for me, because I think there's enough answer stands out. Yep. Honestly, Matt Wallace, if you're looking to play him, and cash, you like it, yep. Cash, I think, is totally a move that would make sense for a guy like that. Even again, I don't like this guy, but if you liked Stuart Sink, another guy, these are the type of plays where ownership is one of the big deterrents for them. That's not going to be important to you in cash. Yes, so
yeah,
you still have to like the play, though. I want to be clear. That's something I think people get tripped up on. Like, well, this guy's super popular, I have to play him in cash. Well, not if you don't like him. Like Cam Tringali, I don't care what I would not. I don't. Most people will play him in cash.
He's going to be 40% owned in cash, probably.
I will not. And that's an aggressive stand even within cash. And I'm willing to do that if I do play cash this week. So yeah, that's one of the big things, though. You don't have to be as cognizant as ownership.
On the GPP side, top two targets for me that I just won't play in cash for quite some time, Aaron Wise and Cam Davis. I think those are my top two. We just chatted about them. How about you?
So yeah, for that, obviously you're more willing to open it up a little bit. Tommy Fleetwood in Griot, that range. I Griot, I get, has some cash notoriety, but he's been more erratic. So I think I'm going to stick to the tournament side. And then honestly, working down, I think you hit a couple good ones there with the lower ranges. I'm going to put in Luke List. I know we're dipping to the real cheapies. Obviously you're not going to play Luke List in cash. Don't do that, please. At 68, though, if you're really looking for just a guy who can make a cut, who's probably a coin flip, I don't mind that. Chat just mentioned EVR.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather play a guy that I'd rather play Doc Redman. You know, we can chat about him. Then I have two questions, and then we'll get out of here. Doc Redman, 17th and 39th. So we've gotten the consistency back. We got the top 20. We got a top 20 here in 2019. Seems like a good profile for him. So I would rather go to Doc Redman down here. Two of the other guys, though, that I had starred, and I had five down here. Two of them we don't have a price on yet. It's Justin Suh, who was just added to the field as a sponsor exemption because somebody dropped out. And Lucas Herbert, who obviously is sticking around to play in the PGA Championship in a couple weeks, Monday qualified. Two guys that I'm actually interested in that we don't even have price yet. So a little different. What are the prices you would play them at this week?
Well, I'll tell you this. Justin Suh, is 6,100. Just got updated.
Oh boy, I had him priced at 65. I'm going to lose a lot of money on him this week.
So that's pretty low. That's going to allow you permutations that you may have not considered.
Oh boy.
So that's something that I think we're going to have to recap tomorrow night as
For sure. I want to get your guys' take there.
And that'll open it up. Yeah. Bear is another guy again. Where is he? Let's see if I can snag him or against.
Yeah, is he? I wonder if they priced him.
6,800. So a little more reasonable. I don't hate that, but certainly now you're competing against a lot more quality in terms of pedigree.
Absolutely agree there. Did not expect him to be that.
61?
That's going to open the door up for me this week. Probably going to have to end up playing a little bit more now because of that. That always ends up happening to me. A couple of deeper dives before we get out of here. I know we have less than a minute. We got Tom Lewis time, Wyndham Clark time. Those are my two last talks. Oh, and one for Eric. I saw Bo Hostler shot a 5-under bogey free round on Sunday. It made the cut, so maybe I'll have a couple shares of Bo Hostler just for my man E-Money, Eric.
Yeah, props to him. He did nail that. Yeah, Wyndham Clark's interesting. Straka's back, I think. I think it's going to be a fine line of what we're doing down here. Now that Justin Su is at 61.
Don't need to play anybody else.
The landscape. So that's something. Last thing I'll say. It's one of the many reasons. Let's get in Slack. You guys get on in there. We'll talk about it. And certainly tomorrow night, me and Eric Lindquist breaking it all down, answering your questions. If you guys have questions in the meantime, handles are on the screen. DFS Golfer 23 at Jazz DFS. Get us, tweet us, follow us. We'd love to have you. Any suggestions? We always appreciate you guys.
We sure do. 2 weeks from now, we have the PGA Championship. Yes, of course, we're going to Texas for the one in between. So stay with us. Again, we will be back next Tuesday. But of course, check out Ben and Eric tomorrow night on the Live Before Lock. So until next week, everybody, good luck at the Wells Fargo Championship. And we will see you on the other side.
Man, 61?
That definitely changes how I'm building this week. I mean,
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.